Jackson Patriot, Jackson, Michigan, January 20, 1895. The erection of a massive temple in Boston by Christian Scientists, at a cost of over $200,000, love offerings of the disciples of Mary Baker Eddy, reviver of the ancient faith and author of the textbook from which, with the New Testament at the foundation, believers receive light, health, and strength, is evidence of the rapid growth of the new movement. We call it new. It is not. The name Christian Science alone is new. At the beginning of Christianity, it was taught and practiced by Jesus and his disciples. The Master was the great healer. But the wave of materialism and bigotry that swept over the world for 15 centuries, covering it with the blackness of the Dark Ages, nearly obliterated all vital belief in his teachings. The Bible was a sealed book. Recently, a revived belief in what he taught is manifest, and Christian Science is one result. No new doctrine is proclaimed, but there is the fresh development of a principle that was put into practice by the founder of Christianity 1900 years ago, though practiced in other countries at an earlier date. Quote, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." End quote. The condition which Jesus of Nazareth, on various occasions during the 3 years of his ministry on earth, declared to be essential, in the mind of both healer and patient, is contained in the one word, faith. Can drugs suddenly cure leprosy? When the 10 lepers were cleansed and one returned to give thanks, in Oriental phrase, Jesus said to him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." That was Christian Science. In his Law of Psychic Phenomena, Hudson says, "That word, more than any other, expresses the whole law of human felicity and power in this world, and of salvation in the world to come." It is that attribute of mind which elevates man above the level of the brute and gives dominion over the physical world. It is the essential element of success in every field of human endeavor. It constitutes the power of the human soul. When Jesus of Nazareth proclaimed its potency from the hilltops of Palestine, he gave to mankind the key to health and heaven, and earned the title of Savior of the World. Whittier, grandest of mystic poets, saw the truth. That healing gift he lends to them who use it in his name, the power that filled his garment's hem, is evermore the same. Again, in a poem entitled The Master, he wrote, "The healing of his seamless dress is by our beds of pain. We touch him in life's throng and press, and we are whole again." That Jesus operated in perfect harmony with natural law, not in defiance, suppression, or violation of it, we cannot doubt. The perfectly natural is the perfectly spiritual. Jesus enunciated and exemplified the principle, and obviously the conditions requisite in psychic healing today are the same as were necessary in apostolic times. We accept the statement of Hudson, there was no law of nature violated or transcended. On the contrary, the whole transaction was in perfect obedience to the laws of nature. He understood the law perfectly, as no one before him understood it. And in the plenitude of his power, he applied it where the greatest good could be accomplished. A careful reading of the accounts of his healings in the light of modern science shows that he observed in his practice of mental therapeutics the conditions of environment and harmonious influence that are essential to success. In the case of Jairus' daughter, they are fully set forth. He kept the unbelievers away, put them all out, and permitting only the father and mother with his closest friends and followers, Peter, James, and John, in the chamber with him, and having thus the most perfect obtainable environment, he raised the daughter to life. Quote, not in blind caprice of will, not in cunning sleight of skill, not for show of power was wrought nature's marvel in thy thought. End quote. In a previous article, we have referred to cyclic changes that came during the last quarter of preceding centuries. Of our remarkable 19th century, not the least eventful circumstance is the advent of Christian Science. That it should be the work of a woman is the natural outcome of a period notable for her emancipation from many of the thraldoms, prejudices, and oppressions of the past. We do not, therefore, regard it as a mere coincidence that the first edition of Mrs. Eddy's Science and Health should have been published in 1875. Since then, she has revised it many times, and the 91st edition is announced. Her discovery was first called The Science of Divine Metaphysical Healing. Afterward, she selected the name Christian Science. It is based upon what is held to be scientific certainty, namely, that all causation is of mind. Every effect has its origin in desire and thought. The theology, if we may use the word, of Christian Science is contained in the volume entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. The present Boston congregation was organized April 12, 1879, and has now over 4,000 members. It is regarded as the parent organization, all others being branches, though each is entirely independent in the management of its own affairs. Truth is the sole recognized authority. Of actual members of different congregations, there are between 100,000 and 200,000. One or more organized societies have sprung up in New York, Chicago, Buffalo, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Detroit, Toledo, Milwaukee, Madison, Scranton, Peoria, Atlanta, Toronto, and nearly every other center of population, Besides a large and growing number of receivers of the faith, among the members of all the churches and non-church-going people. In some churches, a majority of the members are Christian Scientists, and, as a rule, are the most intelligent. Space does not admit of an elaborate presentation on the occasion of the erection of the temple in Boston, the dedication taking place on the 6th of January, of one of the most remarkable, helpful, and powerful movements of the last quarter of the century. Christian Science has brought hope and comfort to many weary souls. It makes people better and happier. Welding Christianity and science, hitherto divorced because dogma and truth could not unite, was a happy inspiration. And still we love the evil cause, and of the just effect complain. We tread upon life's broken laws, and mourn our self-inflicted pain.